Listen for Insight, a podcast from Miami University's Lockheed Martin Leadership Institute dedicated to spreading ideas of creativity, innovation, and leadership. Welcome to Listen for Insight. I'm your host, David Turnick. We have for you Nicole Smith, Project Manager for Orion Testing at the Space Power Facility at NASA Plum Brook Station, and her insights on being a woman leader in a male-dominated field. I send you now to our interviewer, Jake Miller.
As a woman that has ascended to a managerial position in such a male-dominated industry and a woman that's experienced so much, who have some of your role models been and how have they affected you both personally and professionally?
Well, I guess I always have to start at home. So my mom and dad, I think, are pretty incredible people. And I feel like, you know, especially given from like the era that they came from and like super small town Ohio and stuff, I feel like they have a very like global view of things and a very progressive view that was probably decades ahead of a lot of the other folks that maybe they grew up with or what have you. You know, my mom has always been pretty independent, and my dad, you know, has always been super supportive of me. And both of them grew up in big families that did not have a lot of money, and they didn't really know about, like, you know, if financial aid or scholarships were even available back then. They had no idea. And so when they got married, they waited a little while to have kids because they wanted to make sure that they were grown up and they were doing the right things. And then when they had kids, they said, we're going to have as many as we can afford to send to college since we didn't get to go. And that was one, me, so one person. And they always said, you know, you can do whatever you want, but you're going to college. And so, you know, the field was always wide open for me, you know, and maybe because I was the one, you know, I grew up playing with dolls and playing with Hot Wheel cars. And I had like a little workbench Fisher Price with like drivers and stuff. And I did ballet and I played softball. And both my parents were very involved with all of that. And so, like, it just never occurred to me that there were things that girls weren't supposed to do. And, you know, they were always amazing. My teachers growing up were always amazing. And then, and going through college was incredible. I don't think the level of like pioneering really hit me until I got in the workforce. So I think my first job you know, is engineering, and this is when I did start at Lockheed. You know, it's a very, you know, technical group of people doing CFD, and I think there were like 35 of us, and I was the only woman. And you know, there does come a point where you wake up and you look around the room and you go, huh, you know, I didn't really think that this was anything out of the ordinary, but maybe it is.
I know you have significant experience as a mentor yourself. So what kind of advice do you have for women entering the professional world?
I would just say to have resilience, I guess. And some of this is similar advice that I would give probably to any young person. You know, no one expects you to know everything. And I know a lot of us go through the imposter syndrome, right? Women especially, you know, you get hired and you're like, oh my God, they expect me to actually know what I'm doing and I can't ask questions and I have to be perfect. I have to get this right, you know, and, you know, why did I actually get this job, you know? And I would say that, you know, the people who hire you know who you are. Resume, they met you in the interview. I'm sure they probably did. Is like they know that you are human and imperfect, and especially if you're a new hire, like you are not expected to know everything in that job immediately. So I would just say have confidence in what you do know and what you don't know. ask questions. If somebody asks you something in a meeting or a presentation and you don't know the answer, say, I don't know, but I will find out for you. And then do it and follow up. And I think that if you are calm and show an honesty like that and you're confident in who you are, you will be happier in the long run. And I think that your leaders and your supervisors will look to you as a key member of their team, and they'll appreciate, you know, the honesty that you give them. Now, you know, diplomatic honesty, right? but I mean, to me, like, that's one of the biggest things is knowing who you are. And then the resiliency part of it. You know, I guess again, because, you know, I have a very like strong feminine role model with my mom, and I've seen, you know, how great my dad is with her and with me, you know, I guess, like if I meet somebody who's a jerk, like most of the time, I think in my past, I've never really considered that they were a jerk because I was a woman. I just thought they were a jerk. So, you know, I'm like, whatever, you know, and so it hurts when people do bad things, but I think being resilient about it and trying to stand up for yourself, I think within the system, or think of ways to be able to combat that, like in a meeting or a team environment, and being like kind of creative about those things is a good way to be. But, you know, I have a really good friend who's just a couple of years younger than me. And last summer, she was very frustrated at work. And she and another female engineer and I all went out to lunch, and we were talking, and she was telling us her story. And she says, I just don't feel very resilient. And I just looked at her and I said, I know you are not a quitter, but there comes a point in time where you have beat your head against the wall long enough. And it's okay to walk away. It's not quitting. It's okay to admit that you're done and you've done everything you possibly can to try to fix the situation. And I said, there's no point in wrecking yourself over it. And our third friend was like nodding her head vigorously. So I guess that's kind of my rambling advice for people, just to stay tough and know thyself. And once you've tried everything to make a stressful situation better, if you can't do it, you just can't make it better, it is okay to find the next opportunity.
NASA is very well known for its creative and innovative solutions to what are quite literally astronomical problems. What kind of challenges have you faced with the Orion project and all of your other experiences within NASA, and how have you addressed them?
I'm not the person that is like coming up with the research experiment to develop a new material to solve like this challenge of whatever. So for me, a lot of my challenges personally are have to do with leading a team, because you know, you lead a team of very brilliant engineers. We never have enough people or resources or time to get all the work done that you want to get done. And, you know, we have some pretty mountainous technical challenges, especially in the case of, the Space Power Facility, which is, when you have one-of-a-kind world-class test facilities, you have one-of-a-kind world-size problems sometimes. So, you know, being able to, you know, deal with those technical challenges in a timely manner and not get hampered by analysis paralysis, or the, and you know, better being the enemy of good enough. Those are things that we constantly struggle with. You know, NASA, I think as a culture, we may struggle a little bit too. I would say I personally do, just because, you know, everything that we do, if you have a failure, it's huge, right? You break a one-of-a-kind test facility. You break a spacecraft in the facility. You launch people on something and you either fail a mission or, God forbid, lose the crew members. I mean, everything that we do, or, you know, fly something to Mars that takes months to get out there, and then if something doesn't work correctly, it crashes on the planet and you lose years of planning for these scientific missions. So, I mean, there's just, it's, you want everything to be perfect, but the reality is that, you know, you have to balance that need for perfection, or that requirement for perfection, with understanding that you have budget challenges and you have launch windows and you only have, you know, 12 people working on your staff, and, you know, you need a test done in a shared facility that has balancing priorities too with other programs. So I think, you know, doing that and then also leading that effort, you know, if you want to talk about creativity and innovation, leading that type of an effort and not stifling creativity and innovation can sometimes be hard. But on the flip side, those challenges can often lead to innovation. So, you know, the folks that work out at Space Power Facility, because they are such a small site, they are really incredible engineers. And when they have a challenge, when we have a failure of some sort, I mean, their ability to come up with ideas on how to fix it, how to work around it, how to do it quicker and better, I mean, they're just really, they're incredible personnel. So they have some amazing technical talent, and I'm constantly, you know, impressed by their ideas that they come up with. So I guess, so you know, for me as a project manager, you know, I struggle with balancing a lot of those things, and it's every day. So every single day we have huge challenges and never enough time or money, it seems like. So my name is Nicole Smith. I'm the project manager for Orion Testing at the Space Power Facility at NASA Plum Brook Station. Thank you for listening for Insight.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Listen for Insight, a part of Miami Ideas. Tune in next time for more insights on creativity, innovation, and leadership. Siesta by Gizar is licensed under a attribution.